and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's just doubled tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
This is on top of an existing 25% tariff that was already in place for a couple of months here. We're essentially just adding another 25% on top of that.
The federal government's moved in the case of the Egyptian national accused of an attack on Israeli hostage supporters. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
Homeland Security and ICE are taking the family of suspected Boulder, Colorado terrorist and illegal alien Mohammed Soleiman into ICE custody.
That includes his wife and five children. Severe storms in the Midwest have spawned flash flooding and suspected tornadoes. Sophia Winfrey headed for her basement in Independence, Missouri.
When I was downstairs, I saw a lot of things passing my window, like tree branches, and I heard a lot of sounds like breaking.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Another push for new gun violence measures. Wisconsin Democrats and advocates are proposing a package of gun safety bills. They introduced these bills Tuesday that would institute universal background checks, reinstate a 48-hour waiting period for gun purchases, and add red flag laws. All proposals that have broad bipartisan support across the country and have been introduced here in Wisconsin before. Gun violence is the number one cause of death for American children. It's been that way for years now. Lindsay Busher from Moms Demand Action Wisconsin.
To every parent, whether you're here in Madison or in Green Bay or Eau Claire or La Crosse or Superior, I hope you feel hopeful because this package is for you.
From 2014 to 2023, the gun death rate increased 34% in the U.S. Here in Wisconsin, it rose 54%. During that time, Republicans repealed Wisconsin's 48-hour waiting period to buy a handgun, which had been in place for about four decades. Senator Chris Larson.
As anyone could have predicted, and many of us did, gun violence has risen as a result of it.
Daryl Morin, head of Forward Latino.
In 2022, right here in the state of Wisconsin, we had 830 gun deaths. 277 of those were homicides. The overwhelming majority, 529 were Wisconsinites who took their own life.
Over the last five or so years, Democrats have introduced dozens of gun safety bills. But Republicans control which ones get hearings and, of course, which get passed. So the big question is, will any Republicans get on board? State Senator Deb Indraka.
Some of them say they support some of these measures. That's why we have public hearings. It's shameful that none of these have ever been called up.
We reached out to Speaker Robin Voss to ask if he had any comment on the new bills. But at the time of this recording, we haven't heard back. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, Civic Media News.
The Packers meet with the media. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens in Green Bay, where the Packers held press conferences after another day of OTA practices. Lucas Van Ness saying it was difficult playing defensive end all last season after suffering a broken thumb in spring practice.
I wore a full cast all the way until about week 10 or 11, I'm not exactly sure, and then kind of had some lingering issues. So I wore it most of the season, which is kind of always limited to playing on just that right side of the defensive line. So I'm excited to get back and kind of have the ability to go and play on both sides again.
Baseball. The Brewers losing last night to the Reds 4-2. After the game, Pat Murphy got more bad news. Brandon Woodruff, out since September of 2023, was pitching in his final rehab stint in Nashville when the big right-hander was hit in the elbow by a comeback hit traveling 108 miles an hour.
He took a line drive off the elbow, right elbow. The x-rays are negative from what I understand, but we want to get him. We slime back and get him the CT scan and get it all checked out.
That's Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be a little smoky out there again this morning, but that should clear up by this afternoon, and we're actually going to get a break from the smoke for a couple of days. Mostly sunny this afternoon, mid to upper 70s for a high tonight, clear low of 51 tomorrow, sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
We are not perfect here at Civic Media. Far be it. Certainly not perfect at this show. But one thing I can assure you of, our owner that I can see right through this glass right now, Sage Weil, has never once told me what to say and encourages us to speak the truth. And that's why, above all else, I'm proud to work for this company. And along with my colleagues, we will bring you what's really happening out there. And if we get it wrong along the way, we'll admit to that and correct ourselves as well.
Catch the Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media. And the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by Cynthia Eifert, retired career Foreign Service officer. We talk about the higher obligations of public servants and why what Trump is doing falls so far short.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
And good morning, 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Wednesday morning, June 4th. Parker Olson is at Madison Studio 2A, and Earl Ingram will join us in just a sec here as well on another day that is still a little smoky, a little hazy, but more sunshine, thankfully, upper 70s for by and large today across the state. And hopefully we'll get to check in tomorrow with meteorologist Brittany Merlot and learn more about the forecast. A reminder to sign up for the Up North News daily newsletter. Get that at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. You can subscribe to the weekday morning edition, the Sunday morning edition that I put together on Wisconsin politics, and our new weekly Saturday edition dedicated to some of the good news and features behind Wisconsin sports. All of that and much more you can find at our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Always nice here now on these Wednesday mornings at this point to welcome in Earl Ingram to the program and check in on some of the stories that he's following in the southeastern part of the state. We'll talk to James Kelly later about stories he's following in the northwestern part of the state. Earl, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Pat?
I'm great, thanks. I was talking to Todd Albaugh last segment, and then we were talking during the news break, and we were explaining to young Parker Olson here how radio stations used to work back in the day, and we got to talking about carts, and you know, which we were talking about 8-track players, and Parker yesterday didn't really know what an 8-track player was. We had to explain it to him, and you know, we had the commercial carts that were like that. And Earl, your radio career, like mine, stretches back to ancient times. And was there either a piece of equipment or something that you did back when you first started that you look back now and you go, I can't believe we had to do that back in the day?
Well, I have to tell you, Pat, I'm kind of a recent guy to radio.
Yes, you are. Yes.
I've only been in radio about 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I got into radio, the carts were long gone, and I'm glad they were. I mean, I saw vestiges of them, mm-hmm, in the studio over in the corner, and but that looked like that used to be a lot of work.
It was a lot of work, but you do remember 8-tracks.
Oh, absolutely. But I also tell you that there used to be a lot of bodies that worked in radio stations.
Yes.
And, you know, that has been erased. Mm-hmm. And the people who've been around a long time would tell me about the stories about how many different people worked in radio and just in one studio. And by the time I got there, most of that had been erased.
Oh, yeah. It was such a different era. And I love reading up about it on some of the old legacy stations and what all was involved. And from our station down in Racine, I mean, that is your classic old-timey radio studio. You can completely tell how there were people that worked in this room, this control room versus this room versus that room. They used to have the heavy curtains there to dampen the sound because there might be live bands inside. And I really get a kick out of that. It, don't get me wrong, it's great that I'm doing this from my home office. You're probably doing this from your home as well. That technology is great. But there's definitely something missed back when it was much more of a collaborative effort. So I always
I would say to you that I concur, because I mean, I remember again when I first got into it, Willie Davis, the former Green Bay Packer Hall of Famer, was the guy who owned the radio stations. Ah. And just the activities, being around all those people, like a different family, I kind of grew used to that and kind of missed that.
Yes. Oh, the camaraderie of a radio station and a newsroom. There's just really there is nothing else like it. I wanted to ask you about some stories that you're following, and one of them is especially troubling, quite frankly, and it is the ongoing rash of fires in apartment buildings in your area. You know, multifamily housing, and it brings back memories of my time in the legislature, again, going back, but that just tells you how long we've been talking about this. This whole notion of these older buildings not being required to retrofit with sprinkler systems, something that you would need now. But I know from being inside that building in Madison that there's all kinds of pressure all the time not to make these old buildings as safe as they could be.
You know, I get frustrated because we're supposedly in a representative government, which means we can't petition the government individually, but we have to elect people who will carry our burdens and do the things necessary to protect the people. But I, you know, at 70 years of age, I know that that's not the case, and it didn't just get to be that way. And so when you have people who you elect, who are supposed to look out for the well-being of you and your loved ones, and they're more concerned about the lobbyists and the people who have the money. And this came to a head on Mother's Day here in Milwaukee when a 125 family unit caught fire. Some say it was somebody set it afire. But five people died in that unit, 125 family unit with no sprinklers. And they were waived because the building was old. Well, there have since been several other fires in 25 family units and above, no sprinklers. So the chief of police, Aaron Lipsky, is really beside himself, and he's demanding change. That change can only come in Madison. And this is not a Milwaukee problem. This is a problem across the state and probably across the nation, where older buildings don't have to meet those codes. And I would say, if you own those buildings, you should figure out a way to pay for having those sprinklers put into your buildings. You're not a pauper if you own buildings that have 125 families in them.
No, absolutely not. In a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article from Gina Lee Castro, the headline says, "We need not just affordable housing, we need survivable housing as Milwaukee reconsiders sprinkler requirements after a fatal fire." Her story says, "Presently, buildings built before 1974, no matter how many units they have, aren't required to have a sprinkler system." And so folks might be saying, well, wait a minute, isn't there some degree of local control? Can't a local government take care of this? No, because the story goes on to say that a state law signed by Governor Scott Walker 12 years ago, Act 270, it's called, prevents Milwaukee from requiring sprinklers in older buildings. The law stripped Milwaukee and all local governments of their ability to adopt municipal ordinances that are more restrictive than state law, according to City Attorney Evan Goyke, who also served in the legislature. And Earl, if there's one thing we know about the Wisconsin legislature, not just the Republican control over these past 14 years, but there are a lot of landlords amongst those legislators who did things like this law that Scott Walker signed that removed local control.
You know, the hypocrisy in it is we talk about democracy. We talk about what it is and the importance of it. But the longer I live, the more I look into it, the more I really shake my head. Because when you look, you know, when you look underneath the garment, you're going to find something that is really not appealing and appetizing. And I think that part of this is that if the American people, especially, you know, living in Milwaukee is all my life and being from Wisconsin and knowing these things and these arrows that have been shot at my community, it's more than frustrating. And to be honest with you, Pat, I don't see an end to it. But again, this is not an issue that's a Milwaukee issue. It's an issue across the state and probably across the nation where elected officials have chosen to support those with money and the lives of those who basically are the average citizens come second.
I was looking at just clicking through some links in the story here, and it takes us to a 2019 story about the number of legislators who double as landlords and pass bills that undermine renters' rights. It notes, and again, this is from 2019, it noted that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is a college town landlord with 23 properties, back then worth nearly $4 million, and has done things like speed up the eviction process, eliminate some tenant legal defenses, limit the power of cities to police landlords, and cap fees that are tied to building code violations. None of these things, Earl, ever come up during legislative campaigns because they're always on the bigger issues, you know, healthcare, crime, whatever. You don't see ads about, you know, a legislature of landlords. And as a result, you see these terrible tragedies about buildings that aren't retrofitted with sprinklers. But it seems to me, after all these years, this might actually be an issue that's going to resonate with more people. Again, not just in Milwaukee, but in any town that has old apartment buildings going, wait a minute, I don't think these guys are looking out for me.
Well, for the most part, I would say that people who live in apartment buildings that are old and that don't have sprinkler systems aren't exactly well off economically and financially. And so who speaks for them? My argument has always been a vote is a vote is a vote. And whether or not you're a person who struggles economically or whether or not you're a wealthy person, the representation should be the same. But you just pointed out a prime example why it's not the same. And we've got to do everything within our power to educate people to understand what the real issues are in these campaigns.
We really should. And I want to go back to the original article and note that that there is an alderman there, Peter, is it Burgalis, who is suggesting a way to circumvent the current state law. And that would be requiring landlords to disclose to tenants ahead of signing a lease that an apartment doesn't have a sprinkler system. And Goyke said that he supports the idea and is going to do some research to see if Act 270 could restrict that. So again, it's not the same as requiring a retrofit, but I mean, it's a positive step at least to notify somebody that, hey, you're about to sign a lease of a place that's old and does not have sprinklers.
I guess I would say if you talk to the families of the five people who lost their lives on Mother's Day and all of those who in the past who also lost their lives, they would look at this in a much more urgent manner than those of us who have not suffered that consequence.
Yeah, there are definitely baby steps would not get it done at this point. Earl Ingram is with us here on these mornings across the Civic Media Radio Network where it's a Wednesday morning. It's June 4th. Let me take a moment to give you an update on sports here, especially anybody that might be hoping to wake up and find out that the Brewers had extended that 8-game winning streak. They did not. They had a chance. They had a runner on, and Jake Bowers was a pinch hitter at the plate. Had a chance to hit the tying home run in the ninth inning, but TJ Friedl of the Cincinnati Reds made a leaping catch for the final out. The Reds hang on. They beat the Brewers 4-2 and snapped that 8-game winning streak on Tuesday night. Kenosha native Gavin Lux drove in the go-ahead run for the Reds with a sac fly in the seventh inning. Now, that Cincinnati series wraps up this morning. Pregame begins at 11:05 on several Civic Media stations, and then the first pitch is around 11:35. The Brewers are then off tomorrow, traveling back home to take on the San Diego Padres at American Family Field. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
Take yourself out to the ballgame at a historic winter field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafter Baseball and Anything But Travis Kelce Night. On June 7th, Anyone But Kelce Night is a celebration of your favorite pop star and your least favorite tight end. Travis Kelce and the number 87 are banned from winter field for the night. So trade in your Travis Kelce jersey for a new Raptors jersey and celebrate Taylor, as she can do no wrong. So take yourself out to the ballgame at historic winter field in Wisconsin Rapids for Rafter Baseball and Anything But Travis Kelce Night.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Welcome back, everyone. Playmakers here at WIRI 105.5. Your host, James, with you, and I am kicking off Meet Your Rafters for another great edition of that. We are so excited to have you guys in studio. I have assistant GM Jake Adams with it. Jake, good to see you.
Great to see you again, James.
Gwen is with us as well, and I forgot your title. I just blanked.
No, that's okay. I'm sales manager. It's been a while.
It has. You just got to come back more often so I can get it in there. Sales manager Gwen, thank you very much for being here, both of you. Appreciate the time. Guys, we got a couple of things to get into while we have you here, but first off, how is the season going for you all? And I'm not talking about the record or how the players are playing or anything like that. Just you individually, how is the season going for you? And Gwen, I'll start with you.
Yeah, it's been great. Our intern crew has been phenomenal. So having them there has been a huge help, and it just gets us really excited for everything that's to come. And we've made some changes over the off season. So hearing fans kind of start talking about that has been exciting. And we're just amped to get the season continuing to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jake?
I mean, honestly, can't complain about anything right now. Like Gwen said, we have an amazing intern crew that's helping make our lives a little bit easier at the ballpark. It's been great to open up the gates to some Rafters fans. We had a lot of excitement this past week, opening day and wrestling night on Saturday. We saw a lot of new fans. That was a cool one to hear. It was their first Rafters game purely because the wrestling event, but they said they'd be coming back soon. So that's the kind of thing we want to hear.
It sounded like that was really successful. I just happened to be past that area, and I could hear it. And I was like on A Street. I could hear what was going on over there and everything. So, I mean, it was very sounded like everybody had a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Worked out well, too, with the day being a big – well, kind of worked out for us as fans. I can't imagine how it was for you guys and logistics of that. And let's go to Saturday real quick because – or I should say Friday, really, where we had a rain delay. That happened. And I don't think you guys were alone in being a little bit surprised by that. I'm pretty sure even our meteorologist was surprised by where that came from and all that. And that's just Wisconsin. That just happens from time to time. You just kind of get used to it. But for the crew, and certainly the grounds crew that's got to get that tarp out right away, there was a bit of an issue with that. What happened there, and how is everybody feeling off of that one?
I mean, I was complaining this morning. My back's a little sore from that one. But, I mean, I've had a short but long career in baseball so far. And I can tell you one thing, that tarp poles are not easy. It may look like it's one of the easiest things in the world, dragging a tarp out onto the field. But that thing weighs 1,800 pounds. We need to be distributing it amongst, 18 people, if that. And once you get even a little bit of rain on top of that thing, it becomes like an immovable object. I mean, it was like trying to drag the grandstand itself over the infield. And it's just a tough thing of baseball. No one really understands until you're out there on that tarp, especially getting 2 inches of rain in 10 minutes. Yeah. It became a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, and I think just it coming out of nowhere was hard, and everyone's across the park up in the press box trying to run down within 30 seconds to get out there. And even with all the players and everything, it's like Jake said, it's thousands of pounds. So trying to get it out there was difficult. And yeah, we can't really win with 2 inches in 10 or was it
yeah, two, yeah, inches 2 inches in 10 minutes.
Two inches in 10 minutes. It was insane.
It came out of nowhere. We had the sun was peeking through, and we're like, all right, good night for baseball. And then it just got dark and torrential downpour.
It was, and that's funny you said that, because I know I said something along the day. At some point in the day, I said to Seth, oh, it's going to be perfect baseball weather tonight. Yeah. Which is, of course, exactly when Mother Nature decided to let it rain, of course. But I am a huge believer, almost in an annoying sense, in a relentless sense, of finding silver linings and looking at the positives of things, even the negatives of things. And early in the season, you might have another you're probably, let's be honest, going to have other opportunities to have to use that tarp and everything.
Absolutely.
Not a bad thing to get it out of the way early in the season and get something like that and get that reps, that experience in for this crew, for the team to, you know, in having to do this when it happens again. I think that was a positive in that, and it all worked out. We're still able to get the game in the very next day.
Yeah.
And it was fun to honestly have a game before and after wrestling, because and people got two games for one. So it ended up being a blessing in that silver lining, like you said, but in the moment, it's very frustrating for fans, obviously, that took time out of their night to come to the Raptors game. So we get it.
Yeah, and not taking any of that lightly. I do think that, looking at it from your guys' perspective, that's certainly first and foremost. Looking at it from my perspective, I don't worry as much about it because in that situation. Usually I do. Certainly fans come first, of course. But in that situation, I was really curious. Like, all I could think about was, like, how you guys were doing and what was going on there. Because, being honest about it, there's some new blood in these positions. And that was out of nowhere. It was such a random situation, but man, that is the way you learn. Like that's just life in general, but especially with the jobs that we do. You can go to school for 20 years doing this stuff. You can train, prep for every single situation. It is so different in real time. It is so different what it actually is happening. Absolutely. Getting those reps early on with any kind of these things, it's a positive. It's a good thing.
Oh yeah, and we've been talking about it in the office all weekend, but I don't think if that rain didn't happen, we wouldn't have had the perfect Disney ESPN storyline for Saturday's game.
Absolutely.
Did you hear a little bit about that?
Oh yeah, I was glued to every inning of that game.
Yeah.
And in part, and just real quick, just wrapping up the Friday game and into that, Gwen, I think you were touching on this a little bit. I thought it was a perfect mashup and something maybe even to think of next year, having that doubleheader and in the middle of that having the wrestling event. My goodness, nobody was leaving that park. Mm-hmm. It was cool. It was really cool to see that. that people just wanted to stay literally all day, wanted to hang out over there at Winterfield.
Absolutely. That was what we loved to see. And we had even some of the wrestlers commentating on it from their performances said, you get two baseball games and a wrestling show. What more can you ask for a Saturday night? And we ended with some fireworks. So
yeah.
Can't complain there.
It was an exciting ending to Saturday's game, certainly, too. That was a lot of fun. And the only thing that I enjoyed more was his smile. He looked like he was a 10-year-old out there just smiling, like how happy he was and everything. That was fun. It's a fun game. Now, we certainly are not where we want to be in the standings in the win-loss column and everything. I want to mention, though, real quick, first off, to anybody, especially if you're new to the Northwoods League, we get two seasons, really, in the Northwoods League. While we don't have maybe the games of an MLB schedule or something like that.
Join James and all his guests on Playmakers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on 105.5 WIRI.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Another scam is making the rounds. Here's Joanne Krulotz.
The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is warning consumers of another phishing scam. This recent wave warns of a final notice or of an unspecified unpaid traffic violation. Some scams duplicate the look of official WisDOT content. These are not from WisDOT or DMV. On Monday, DMV noted an influx in customers calling and emailing with questions after receiving these unsolicited texts. Wisconsin DMV urges consumers to be on the lookout and follow these tips. Be suspicious of demands for money in urgency. Do not share personal information with unsolicited emails or messages. If you have not signed up to receive email or text messages from DMV, do not respond, engage with the caller, or click on links. And sign up for account activity alerts and renewal reminders by subscribing to Wisconsin DMV's eNotify. Like most bank accounts, you will receive confirmation of transactions on your account, which alerts you to any fraudulent activities.
The Winter Park Aquatic Center in Wisconsin Rapids will open for the season on Friday, June 6th. Their regular hours are Sunday through Wednesday, noon to 6, Thursday, noon to 7, and Friday and Saturday, 11 to 7. The Aquatic Center has three pools, one for the tots with their own water slides, spray features, and a tot lazy river. The leisure pool has a play area, basketball hoops, a water walk, and a lazy river with a rapids action channel. The tube water slide and body water slide empty into a plunge pool. The recreation pool features basketball hoops, lap swimming, a zip line feature, diving board, and a climbing wall. You can find out more at wirapids.org. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The King of the Hill actor who provided the voice for character John Redcorn has been killed in a shooting. TMZ reports that Jonathan Joss was found at the side of a road, shot several times. First responders tried life-saving measures, but pronounced him dead at the scene. Sources say Joss was shot by a neighbor after a disagreement. Police did track down the shooter within a few minutes. Joss played Redcorn from season 2 to season 13 of the hit animated show. Jonathan Joss was 59 years old. The Penguin's secret crush is no longer a secret. Danny DeVito had a good old-fashioned showbiz crush on Catwoman. The Twins star said when he was in Batman Returns, he had the hots for co-star Michelle Pfeiffer. DeVito sat down with Colin Farrell, also known for his role as the Penguin, on Variety's Actors on Actors podcast, where the two traded Batman stories. DeVito said Pfeiffer was his secret crush. DeVito says he lusted after her and loved her. Lucky girl. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be a little smoky out there again this morning, but that should clear up by this afternoon, and we're actually going to get a break from the smoke for a couple of days. Mostly sunny this afternoon, mid to upper 70s for a high tonight, clear low of 51 tomorrow, sunny with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the head of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, Darren Von Ruden, will join us. Also, film credits in Wisconsin and making movies here. Nathan Deming is our guest. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
From the text line, where's Brittany Merlot? A very simple answer. She's under the weather, no pun intended. Hoping to have her back tomorrow to give us a forecast for the rest of the week. It's a Wednesday morning. It's June 4th. All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. And Melissa, nice to have you here. Thank you, first off, for spending another one of your mornings with us here. But I don't know where else to start except this headline. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What? You're with FEMA. What?
Let's look at the article here. The acting head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency told employees on Monday that he did not know the United States has a hurricane season, according to two people who heard the remarks and said it was unclear if he was serious. The agency later said he was only joking. Anybody? I don't see anybody raising their hands if they believe that. Nope, it appears not. This, Melissa, is the least surprising news I could share with you to start the day, but it's still worth sharing anyway.
Speechless too. I
love it. We're all just sitting here like, what? And yes, the official David Richardson served in the Marines. He's worked in the Department of Homeland Security Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction Office. After he joined FEMA in May, some FEMA workers expressed concern about his lack of experience in emergency management. And so now we're not sure if he actually knows that FEMA needs to be ramped up for hurricane season, which recently started. But since the start of the Trump administration, FEMA has lost about a quarter of its full-time staff, including one-fifth of the coordinating officers who manage responses to large-scale disasters, to which Parker will again repeat his reaction, which when something like this...
I'm sorry, what?
That's it. That's exactly the correct reaction, Melissa.
Yeah, it is. I mean, this is... I don't even know what to say to this. I mean, it's if it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. I mean, this is about to be... I mean, hurricane season has started. It just started, you know, and we know that with the way that climate change has impacted our weather, and it's gotten more extreme. We've seen more deadly, more dangerous hurricane, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season this year. It's wild to go into the start of the season like this. This is nuts.
I believe Tony says it best on YouTube. I'm sorry, what? Needs to be a button on the board that we just push every so often. Although I think Parker's right here to say it all to us, to have that reaction. It's worth noting more from a New York Times article that Richardson's predecessor at FEMA was Cameron Hamilton, who was pushed out in early May, a day after telling members of Congress that FEMA was vital to communities in their greatest times of need and should not be eliminated. The comment appeared to be in conflict with President Trump, who has suggested that FEMA be eliminated. And so it was Cameron Hamilton who was eliminated. And so in comes Mr. Richardson on his first full day as acting administrator, told the agency's employees that if any of them tried to obstruct his agenda, quote, "I will run right over you." Seems like just the guy who should be handling our disaster response. And that's where we are. In the meantime, because what else can you say to react to that? Let's come back to how we started the day here, Melissa. We have been talking about this budget bill, the big, beautiful bill that, you know, Elon Musk now calls an abomination. We've been talking about this for weeks, about the things that are in there, the cuts that would hurt, including job creation in new energy industries. And yet the lead story nationally today is about the number of Republicans in Congress who are now saying they didn't realize what they were voting for. They didn't realize everything that was in the bill. And that may be true, Melissa, but they certainly realized that they were cutting off their nose to spite their face when it comes to creating jobs in their own districts from President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act.
Mm-hmm. Well, you'll excuse me for not being very sympathetic to the likes of Marjorie Taylor Greene for not doing her homework on what she voted on. But, you know, I'm not surprised to learn that, you know, that a number of these Republican members of Congress had no idea what they voted for, because we know that what's most important to them is just going right along with the Trump agenda. They aren't thinking for themselves. They aren't thinking about what's best for their constituents and what's happening back home in their districts. They are thinking about what is going to make them the most likable and the most, you know, make them appear to be the most loyal soldiers for Donald Trump and his agenda. So, you know, it's not surprising to hear that they weren't very concerned with what was actually in the bill. You know, that's, yeah, not surprising. But it is good to see that there is some accountability here, that they are, you know, getting called out, and that they are acknowledging finally, and I believe that is due in large part to the advocacy of folks all around the country. And I know great work by folks in Wisconsin to highlight what the impacts of this legislation would be and how this would cut jobs, how this would increase energy costs, and how this would really be devastating to our economy, and how this would hurt real people in our communities. So I think that it's something that these legislators are going to find harder and harder to ignore what the consequences are.
I don't have the latest Wisconsin facts and figures at my fingertips here, but I am seeing some examples out of Tennessee where the Inflation Reduction Act, which, by the way, features, you know, more than $300 billion worth of clean energy initiatives. But in Tennessee, electric vehicle manufacturing facilities and the companies that make components and batteries for EVs have been benefiting from loans, grants, tax credits. And it says here in the Tennessee Lookout from State's Newsroom, the electric vehicle industry has taken root in Tennessee and other southern states, other red states over the last few years, promising to create thousands of jobs. And there are, as we've talked about, some House Republicans that are advocating that these clean energy tax credits be spared from the budget chopping block. But I don't know, Melissa, there's still a lot of Ron Johnsons out there that are saying, well, you're not cutting enough. So I think these House Republicans who want to save some of these clean energy jobs are may not be successful and may put themselves in political peril as a result.
Absolutely. I think that there is, real risk for a lot of these folks, because of their votes, and they are at risk of, of actually being held accountable. There's definitely a lot of risk because people are aware of what's happening. And I think that the, I think that the advocacy has been incredible here in terms of how we're holding folks accountable for what they're doing.
I know we did talk about the Wisconsin impact some time back, and I recall now a Wisconsin Public Radio story that talked about how the Inflation Reduction Act could boost clean energy jobs up to the level of 73,000, and that Wisconsin added more than 2,000 clean energy jobs in just the last year. So, there is already a measurable impact of improvement in terms of jobs that could be created here. It's momentum that should frankly be moving forward. And Melissa, when you look at the size of Trump's budget bill, these credits, these things that are proven to create jobs, are such a small part of the overall bill, in large part because, $3 trillion of it is additional deficit that Republicans are adding to the national debt. But it sure seems to me that, these cuts aren't you're not getting anything out of them except for money that's going to go turn into tax breaks for the very wealthy.
Exactly. They're not getting anything out of these. And, the thing is too, the cuts that they're making and the decisions they're making, we're not talking about modeling or projections anymore with the Inflation Reduction Act and the, the tax credits that are a part of that and all of these programs. We're talking about real investments, real savings, and real jobs in these communities. And I can give you an example, a couple examples around the state. If you look at just the 3rd Congressional District in Wisconsin, there are federal tax credits supporting more than $4.5 billion in private investments in clean energy investment. 31 energy projects that are benefiting from clean energy production or investment tax credits, including 5 school projects benefiting from direct pay. So this is real investment. This is not theoretical. This is not, maybe someone's going to do something someday. These are projects that are happening, and these are people that are real people working in these jobs, and this is an actual impact in communities. And when they are making these cuts, when they are taking these programs away, that is going to be devastating for these communities.
Like what Tony puts up on YouTube, it's back to the FEMA manager. It's like being a football coach and then saying, wait, we have a football season? I thought we just practiced. It's exactly the kind of sentiment that we're seeing here. So let's talk generally about this. When Elon Musk, made his comments yesterday and, really just had this full-on separation from the Trump administration, obviously, a lot of people are seeing that as kind of a political earthquake. And I mean, I really can't disagree. I mean, Elon Musk and Trump seem to be besties there for the longest time. And I do wonder if this is going to be a moment that either leads to significant changes in the Senate or scuttles the whole thing and we end up with no budget come October 1st.
Yeah, I think never accuse these guys of knowing what they're doing out there.
No.
So I think anything is possible when it comes to how this budget continues to play out.
I think that's where we leave it, because it's I don't want to call it entertainment, but you certainly never know what the next twist that's coming. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much. As always, appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Live from Lake Wissota, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Terry, we were talking about when the kiddos are a little bit in the teenage and or younger and getting into school and stuff, but before that, we want to help out as well because we're talking about the diaper drive.
I mean, yeah, we are. We're having a lot of conversations about how we impact kids and provide people with the supplies and items that they need. And so this was a response. Last year, we held the first one. To just hearing from community partners.
Last year's was really successful, too. I meant to bring this up the other day with you. I'm still blown away when I think about
15,000 diapers.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Really
for a first.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
So we are currently collecting diapers.
And one family used all of them. No,
they're still using them.
They're still using them. Yeah, this is like one kid.
We are collecting diapers, wipes, and pastes and creams for local programs that are hearing from community members that, you know, I need diapers, I don't have access to, or I have diapers, but I don't have enough, right? And so then that becomes a cleanliness, a health
you know, issue with children. So we responded last year again with our first diaper drive and continued it this year. And we're seeing a, you know, we're seeing a nice response. I also had the opportunity to write a grant, which leveraged some dollars to supplement what we receive in donations. And so our goal is that from Mother's Day to Father's Day, you know, we leverage as many as the community will support, and then we will be distributing those to three locations in Southwood County, to First Choice Pregnancy Resource Center, the Family Center, and the Food Pantry. This is where people who have these needs are presenting. This is also an opportunity for our resource specialists at 211 to say, you know, I understand that you have this need. Here's where you can find, you know, here's where you can go. We don't have the capacity. We've been seeing some United Ways popping up their own, like, diaper banks. We don't have like the physical capacity. Our building is small. And then you run into like, well, do you spend money on a location when you really could just spend the money on the diapers, right? Because these organizations that I mentioned that we are partnering with, they're already seeing the clientele, right? So if we can just get them the supplies they need. So again, you know, thinking through not duplicating and cost and all of that. So those are the three distribution locations in Southwick County. We expanded this year to the Adams County part of our service area as well. So collecting diapers there, and then those will be distributed through UW Extension, Adams County, and some of their partners. So, you know, I think we've got a good thing going. And again, you know, trying to really listen and hear what the community needs are. And we had a great response last year, and looking forward to the same as this continues up through Father's Day.
We appreciate everybody who has already donated. Continue, keep that going, everybody. It's a great investment in their future and helping out those that could really use it. Appreciate you.
And just one other thing regarding diapers. The greatest need is actually the largest sizes. So, you know, while there's less in the box for the same price, right? You get more newborn size diapers than you get size six. But what we're hearing, the feedback we're getting is that sizes, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I'll go buy a bag of diapers, what we're hearing is size 4, 5, and 6 are just really where the greatest need is. So just consider that if you're, you know, if you're thinking about supporting this, that's where the greatest need lies.
We're speaking with CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns. And Terry wanted to talk about another event and then spend some time a little bit on 211 with you. But just again, some breaking news here for everybody. I was talking with Stephanie yesterday a little bit, and I have agreed after a long negotiation to be a judge again once more for United Weekend. We worked it out somehow with all my, you know,
so you're paying us
needs and everything. Yeah, well, that's really what it comes down to. I was trying to have to pay you less, and actually somehow I'm paying you guys more than I love being a part of this, a tiny little part of the United Weekend event. It is probably my favorite event you guys do every year. It's such a, because of the combination of things. I have admitted many times one of my bigger passions is hunger in our country, and something I've paid attention to since I was a little kid. But I love the idea of how much of a community event this is, and the more and more it feels like every year it just becomes more and more of such a community event that everybody gets a part of. Last year I was talking to somebody at one of the last week of the season, went to a game at Winter Field. I'm talking to somebody and they were talking about this event for this year and looking forward to it. They did not even know I worked at the radio station, didn't know I knew you or anything like that. I thought it was just really cool to hear. I know how much people enjoy this because it's a fun event. We're going to a Rafter game, we're going to see a Rafter win, and we're doing some good. This community does this better than anybody, having fun while also raising funds or helping out a community, you know, people.
Yeah, so when you think about the history of this event, you know, really we said we have a lot of really great food programs that are meeting, you know, almost able to meet all the need, or all the need that we're aware of, right? Because sometimes we just don't know, you know, what people need or how much people need. But we took it from the standpoint of how do we educate the community that there are hunger challenges here, you know, in our community. So that was really what made us think, oh, let's do, you know, let's hop on the food sculpture contest, because it just educates the general public who otherwise just aren't thinking about it. They haven't had a need, they haven't been asked to donate, you know, whatever. But they just might not have found themselves in the space where they understand that there's hunger issues. So that was kind of what started it. And then the food from the sculptures is the bonus, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea is anyone who attends the Rafter game comes, sees the sculptures, maybe asks some questions. Maybe they don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe they learn a little bit about hunger by listening to some of the statistics that are that are read. Or maybe they, you know, we have a an opportunity to do a collection during the game. You know, maybe they reach in their pocket and throw all their change in the bucket. Maybe they throw a five in the bucket. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's an opportunity, like just right now in real time for a couple of hours, to be thinking about the hardship that someone else, you know, maybe that they're sitting next to, might be experiencing. And then the true bonus is the next day our local food programs come and they get to pick up the food and it goes back into, you know, it goes to their organizations. And so when someone presents at the food pantry, now maybe there's, you know, 40 more cans of corn because it was used in a sculpture. And and that kind of, you know, that's the bonus. But really, you know, our motivation and the idea behind it is to just have the general public understand that we do have hunger challenges here in our community. So this event is taking place on June 17th. It is a Tuesday night, happens at the Rafters. The game is 6:35. I have no idea who they play. Sorry, it's just not relevant to me at this point. Right,
right. You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Pushback from overseas after President Trump doubles tariffs on imported steel and aluminum from 25 to 50%. European Union Trade Commissioner Maroš Šefčovič.
We strongly regret this latest U.S. decision, and it clearly doesn't help the ongoing negotiations.
Elon Musk is bashing Mr. Trump's budget package as a disgusting abomination. Ahead of today's meeting of Senate Republicans, one of them, Rand Paul, agrees the bill's a budget buster.
They're planning on spending $5 trillion they don't have, and I'm just not for that.
The GOP's John Thune.
Republican senators are anxious to move forward, and we are going to get this done one way or the other.
The wife and five children of the Egyptian man accused of throwing firebombs at Israeli hostage supporters in Colorado have been taken into ICE custody. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem.
We're also investigating to what extent his family knew about this horrific attack.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.